Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone. It's caught. Touchdown. Oh my God.
The mark of fantasy excellence.
It's caught for a touchdown.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Good morning and welcome to Roto Experts in the morning. We're live on a Sunday morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Joe Galina, and as always, I'm joined by my friend George Kurtz. What's up, George?
Good morning, Mr. Galina.
What's up? Happy Sunday, man. Happy Sunday.
Yeah, happy Sunday. Go to Blazers.
Yeah. Get some caffeine in you, buddy. Get Red Bull, coffee. What's your preference for a little injection of some caffeine?
I don't think I've ever had a Red Bull.
No?
I don't think so. certainly not one that I can remember.
Right.
I know what the can looks like. So I don't really take any of those things. I know when I was back in college, I took, no dose or something like that one time. Mm-hmm. And those things kill your stomach, so that was the last I ever did that.
Yeah.
For me, it's usually a Pepsi. I'm not really a coffee guy. I don't like hot drinks because generally I'm thirsty. I want to drink.
Right. You want to drink it fast, right? You don't want to be slowed down by a hot beverage.
I'm not a big fan of hot beverages. Maybe on a really cold day, if I was outside shoveling snow or something like that, maybe some hot chocolate. Mm-hmm. Maybe. But for me, it's just I have a Pepsi here, so with some nice thing of ice here, and that will get me through the day.
I'm mostly a coffee guy. The first time I ever had a Red Bull, like you said, it affected my stomach and didn't have one for a few years after that. But then, you know, over the past year, I've had a few, and that helps you get a little revved up. But, I'm more of a coffee guy myself. And, hey, you might need some hot beverages because here in the Northeast, winter's trying to hang on. We're getting some snow tonight here in the New York area. But our eyes and hearts are into baseball right now, right? I mean, let it snow. But we'll do our drafts. We'll do our draft preparation and get ready for the baseball season. But then on the other hand, we'll talk about a little bit the NFL Combine. We'll try to do that in the second hour of the show. Take a look at the major happenings there as well. But we'll get some. We started to do the second base position, breaking that down last week. We'll finish that off. Move on to shortstop. Maybe some fantasy baseball strategy, drafting strategy as well. Get to the headlines as well. So got a fun and action-packed show for you today. I guess we'll start. Probably won't spend too much time on it because, you know, a lot has been said about it already. But obviously, the big news of the week in terms in the baseball world is Bryce Harper finally off the market, signs a 13-year deal for $330 million. That's a little over $25 million per year. No opt-outs on this contract, so that's an interesting feature. There was talk about, you know, well, maybe he really doesn't want to play in Philadelphia or whatnot, but with a no opt-out on a 13-year deal, you could lay that to rest. A full no trade. He has a full no trade, so he controls, if the Phils ever think about moving him. But, hey, look, you know, he'll be 39 years old by the end of this contract, and who knows, maybe in a few years they'll have some rule changes, have a universal DH. So maybe, you know, when he's 35 years old, they're not playing the best right field. You know, he'll still be a plus in that Phillies lineup. as a DH.
Yeah, everything you said is correct. I mean, the no opt-outs thing is weird in this day and age. We get different reports here. Well, you know, half say, well, he didn't want any because he really wants to stay in Philly. But even if you believe that right now, why would you want an opt-out anyway?
Right. I agree with you.
You know, right, 3-4 years down the line, you could just decline it. Nope, good. Mm. You know, but if you hate it, at least now you're protected. Mm-hmm. No one's saying you have to leave to go for more money. If Harper, like I said, if Harper truly believes that he didn't, you know, I don't want to go anywhere. Maybe he doesn't like the free agent process. Maybe he hasn't liked the fact that the past year people have been, where you go? Where you going to sign? Who are you going to play with?
Yeah.
Maybe he really, 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 really doesn't like that. And I can understand that. Mm-hmm. You know, not everybody wants to go that. But then why not take the opt-out anyway, just in the case you really, really, really hate Philadelphia?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so I don't understand why you wouldn't do that anyway. I found that strange.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing was, why the extra $30 million for 3 extra years? Yeah, that's not a lot in this mm-hmm. day and age. That's $2.25 million a year for the extra 3 years more than Manny got. Sure, the contract's bigger than Manny's, but you're paying 3 extra years. Why not the $10,300? I just found that strange, weird. For that, that he stood there. Why you would take that much less? Making $25 million a year is not the biggest contract ever,
right?
I mean, Nolan Arenado, who signed a couple of days later, is making much more as far as an AAV. His AAV mm-hmm. comes out to $33 million. So yeah, it just made me wonder a lot of these things here. As I said, he's never going to spend all this money anyway. So in that way, it doesn't matter as far mm-hmm. as the AAV. I guess if he knows it, he doesn't care. But the opt out thing, I found very strange. I don't know why you wouldn't want to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems that agent Scott Boras and Harper, it seems like, and we don't know what's in their heads, wanted to get that large number, the $330 million. So maybe the Phil said, hey, you know, you want that large number, you got to give us a little something too. Throw the opt out thing out the window. So, and the $25 million per year, you know, it's relatively crazy to say this, but relatively economical in this day and age, right? But who knows? Maybe gives him an opportunity to go after Trout in a couple of years, man. And then you see Harper worth $330 million. What's Trout going to be worth in 2 years, right?
Well, if you believe in WAR, I mean, listen, he's not going to get this amount, but WAR will tell you that Trout is worth double.
Mm-hmm.
That he is twice the player of Harper and
that's above replacement,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? And he's not going to get $600+ million. He's not. I know there's some rumors going around that the Angels are thinking about offering Trout 10 years, $350 million. And Keith Floor, former assistant GM for the Blue Jays and now a professional scout, he just wrote on Twitter when he heard about this. He goes, "Oh, isn't that nice of them?" That was his way of saying, yeah, $350 million. It starts at $350 million. It might end at $450 million. You know, he's not a free agent for 2 years. They can offer him whatever he wants. If Trout wants to go to free agency, he's making $400+. And that'll be, I imagine, Philadelphia or the Yankees. That's the only two teams I can think of. And, as I talked with Cam yesterday, you and I are Yankee fans. I don't think he'll be going to the Yankees. Only because he's 2 years from free agency. Judge will need a big contract by then. That's, not in Trout land, but it's over $300 million. Stanton's already in the middle of his contract. He'll still be a Yankee. And they just signed Aaron Hicks to 7 years, $70
million. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Trout's a better player than all of them, so I'm not saying that, but where's he going to play? Are you going to move Stanton to DH? Because that's the only way you open up room for Trout.
Right.
It's the only way. So, and do the Yankees want to pay another big contract? Big contract to Judge. Big contract to Stanton. Torres is going to need a big contract. I don't think it's $300 million land. We'll see how he develops, but he's going to need a big contract when he's up. If Andujar keeps developing, that's a big contract. So that's what the Yankees have to worry about here. They have other guys they got to pay too. You can't pay five guys $200+ million. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen here. Not under Hal Steinbrenner.
Right.
Obviously, Hal has a budget here, so it may end up being Philadelphia or bust. Philadelphia has money. They have money. They could go Harper for $330 million, and they could easily. Go Trout, $400 million, and they can still make it. Keith Thor also points out, and this is very true, outside of the Athletics and the Rays, every team in baseball could have signed Machado and Harper and still made money. Mm-hmm. Right? Baseball's booming. The only teams print money. The only difference is how much money do you want to make? Obviously, you'd make less if you had Harper and Machado, but they all can do it. It's just that some of these owners, all they care about is making money. They don't care about winning. Winning's secondary. This is a business. They want to make money first, and then they worry about winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a business. You're right. And that was like one of the questions I was going to ask you. In this day and age, is any free agent really off limits to any team these days? You know, like you said, baseball is in a good place. There's revenue sharing. The game is making money. I mean, I like the fact that the Padres were able to sign a Machado. You know, it just shows you that, you know, the quote-unquote small market teams, you know, still have funds available to pursue the top talent in baseball. And, you know, pretty much didn't believe it when it came out, but even after Machado was signed, supposedly the Padres weren't totally out. They still had a discussion about, well, you know, do you think we could, you know, pursue Harper? But, hey, you know, the Harper turned down a shorter term. I think the Dodgers offered him $45 million per. Was it like a 3 or 4 year deal that they offered? So I guess when you look at Harper, he wanted the long-term deal. He wanted the consistency. And maybe you're right. Maybe this whole free agent process got to him. Maybe he just wants to be in one place. And hey, look, you know, it's a great hitter's park. It's a good situation to be in. You know, now you look at this Phillies team, right? You know, he's penciling him in right field. You got looking at the infield, the Rhys Hoskins, who's gonna possibly there for many years. They traded for Gene Segura, very nice shortstop. Cesar Hernandez went down with a hip strain. Right, he was penciled in as a second baseman. If he can't go, Scott Kingery, who the Phillies really believe in, they signed him for a long-term deal. He was going to be battling Michael Franco for the third base job, but maybe now he slips into the second base spot if Hernandez isn't ready for the for opening day. But what do you think about this team in general? What does Harper do for this team? I'll tell you, one guy that I think it really knocks down a little bit is Nick Williams. Now, Nick Williams was a guy that if they hadn't signed Harper, I believe he was going to be their starting right fielder. I was going to target him very late in drafts and maybe thinking that maybe he could push for maybe 20 home runs for a season. But I think his value is really taking a hit.
Well, yeah, because he may not play.
Right.
That's taking a hit.
You think?
Yeah. That's not good. I mean, you said it. I don't want to say who cares, Nick Williams. You mentioned you targeted him late in drafts. Fine. You know, he's a guy who had some upside. You know, but he's not a guy who's like, oh my God, I can't believe this guy's not going to play.
Right.
Either you already had your drafts and you drafted Nick Williams, he should be a guy. Once again, you just lost your 22nd round pick. All right. No one's going to feel bad for you. You'll survive that. This is not a first round pick going down. Where all of a sudden, oh my God, I don't have this guy now. I drafted him third overall. All right, you should be fine. No one's going to be crying for you. So, I've been saying it for months. They were always going to land Harper or Machado. You know, you heard the owner come out and say in November that he's got silly money and he was going to spend it, which good for him, by the way. Good for the Philadelphia Phillies. Look what they've done. I mean, look what they've done. They traded for Realmuto. You know, and that maybe
I didn't even mention him. Yes,
maybe the best catcher in baseball. Trade for Segura. Certainly a good shortstop. You sign McCutcheon. All right, granted, he's on the back end of his career.
A nice veteran.
But a nice veteran. No, I think that's a nice veteran. But nice veteran. Someone who can play. Obviously, you just signed Harper. You signed David Robertson, who as of right now is your closer. You know, there's still some noise here that they're discussing. Kimbrel.
Yes.
And or Keuchel. But they've also come out and said if either one of those two come to Philadelphia, it would have to be on either a short-term contract. It's not going to be 6-7 years. It'll be 2-3 years. You know, we'll see how that works out there. We're also hearing Kimbrel, by the way, going to the Braves over Nationals. So the National League. National League.
Please not the Nationals. Please not the Nationals. I drafted Sean Doolittle in my TGFBI, you know, and I thought it was a safe pick. Come on. Go to the Braves.
I drafted Doolittle as well in Sirius. I'm not 100% sure. I ended up with a lot of closes in the Sirius XM Invitational the other night.
I want to talk about that with you.
Yeah, so I think I might actually now that I mean, maybe I'll look at that team, but anyway, really it's their rotation that worries me the most. I mean, we all like Nola. Arrieta is not the pitcher he used to be. Pivetta, Velasquez, it's nice, but that's where their weakness seems to lie here. Their bullpen: Robertson, Sir Anthony Dominguez, Hector Neris. You know, that's Neshek, Nicasio. Yeah. That's a good bullpen. It's a good solid bullpen. Will Craig Kimbrel help? Of course. With a Hall of Fame closer, of course he'd help there. But I think they could use Keuchel more, even though I'm not a big fan of Keuchel, especially in that ballpark, could be a mistake. Mm-hmm. But I think they could use a starting pitcher more here. But you have to like what the Philadelphia Phillies have done. Listen, the Mets have made moves. The Nationals, Nationals may have lost Harper, but they signed Corbin, $140 mm-hmm. million contract. You know, they've made some moves as well. The Braves have signed Donaldson. Really, that's pretty much all they've done. But the National League East is going to be the division to watch in baseball this season. Actually, it's the National League that'll be the league to watch, because the National League Central is a bear, too, with the Cardinals, mm-hmm. Brewers, and Cubs. That'll be fun to watch as well. But this National League East, all of these teams are going to be killing each other. And the poor, poor Miami Marlins. I mean, what's their over-under, Joe? 55? Would 48 win surprise anybody? Can you name three Miami Marlins? How about that?
Last name Anderson, Alfaro, right? Isn't Anderson
Alfaro,
the
yes.
baseman? Alfaro.
Almost drafted him the other day.
Yeah, I'm thinking about drafting him in TGFBI. Who's the third one? The guy they traded from the outfielder from the Brewers, right? Brinson?
A couple former Yankees. Yes, yeah, Brinson's yeah. there.
Yeah, yeah. Starlin Castro.
Starlin Castro, there you go. There's like four former Yankees, man. Neil Walker, Curtis Granderson, Peter O'Brien. Yeah.
What a team! What a team! We'll be back with more Fantasy Baseball, Roto Experts in the Morning.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Got to wake you up a little bit there, George.
Good
Welcome
tune.
Back, everybody. Yeah. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The Roto Experts in the Morning. Joe Galina, George Kurtz, and producer extraordinaire Sean Angle hanging out with us, keeping us flying straight. I think Sean saw you need a little pick-me-up and brought us back with that. So kudos to Sean. Keeping his finger on the pulse here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So we were just talking a little Harper, other big news this week. Salvador Perez expected to undergo Tommy John surgery next week. And he's obviously going to miss the 2019 season. You look at Salvador Perez, number three in ADP in NFBC leagues. And takes a position that's already a disaster in fantasy, the catcher position, and that just kills it a little bit more. I mean, you look at the NFBC ADPs, you mentioned JT Realmuto being traded to the Phillies. He's number one in terms of ADP. And number two, Gary Sanchez. Number three, Salvador Perez. Wilson Ramos from the Mets, number four. And Yasmani Grandal, Milwaukee Brewers, rounds out your top five in NFBC ADP.
Yeah, I mean, where do I start here? I hate catchers. I hate them.
Yeah.
I am firmly of the belief, I mean, it should be a one-catcher league. I'm not saying eliminate the position. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not being Jake Seeley with kickers here in football and let's get rid of it. Although I agree with that as well. But I think catchers need to be cut down to one. It's ridiculous. All right. Now, the first thing I did when I heard about this injury is I actually had three drafts this week, and I knew I drafted Salvador Perez in one of these leagues. But I also knew that one of these leagues was a mock. So I'm like, oh, God.
Okay, good. Hopefully it was
please,
the mock that you drafted him.
Please. Right? First thing, I checked the serious one. I'm like, nope, that one I got Grandal. Okay, anyway, I got Grandal this, and like round 12. So I'm like,
is that
right,
a real league
good.
Or a mock, the serious one?
No, that's a real league. That one counts. I only did one mock. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being, yes, I did get lucky. I did draft Salvador Perez. It was the mock. So I was like,
nice.
Yes, you know. Mm-hmm. But so, yeah, it worked out well for me. Not for other people. Not for other people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a blow. I hate catchers. I've said it everywhere for years now. You know, they get hurt. They only play one day. They get one day off a week, so you automatically lose 26 games for them. You know, it's just it's brutal. It's just brutal. You know, they hit with balls. They get hit with bats. They still get hit with runners. They have to crouch a gazillion times in the heat of the summer. It takes a toll on the body. I can't spend a top pick on it. And by top pick, I mean first five, six, seven rounds. I'm not spending on a catcher. I'm just not doing it. The only reason I ended up with Grandel in the Serious League was because, A, he lasted a while, and B, I needed power. And it just it made sense there to go out and grab him when he was available here because I needed power. He's going to hit 25 to 30 home runs, I believe, in that bandbox in Milwaukee. So I like the player. But and it's not like I hate the person. I just hate the position. It's hard for me to get value. Hard anybody to get value out of catcher. You know, you drafted Gary Sanchez early last year. You got bum crushed.
Yeah.
You know, Posey, crushed. Yeah, there's not enough catchers to go around. You just named the catchers. There's like five or six of them. That's it. After that, it's like, ugh, who cares? And that seriously, I don't even know who my second catcher is. It might be – it's probably nobody. Because, once again, there aren't 24 catchers to go around. If you're in a 15-team league, God bless you. You're in an only league? Yeah, good luck. You know, there aren't enough to go around to get one for every team, more or less two. So the second catcher, I just tend to ignore and just hope. You know, either I'm just praying that this guy plays well, or I'm taking somebody, maybe a top prospect, who could get called up. I should have taken Alfaro in that league. You know, I wanted to, and for some reason I didn't pull the trigger there. Maybe I have Miami bias because of how bad a team they're going to be. But Alfaro is a player I should have pulled the trigger on.
Yeah, I'm in that TGFBI league that was formed by Justin Mason, and it's a 15-team league. Salvador Perez went with the first pick in round 9. We're in round 19, and I still haven't chosen. It's a two-catcher league. I haven't taken a catcher yet. I'm thinking of Chirinos, believe it or not, because, you know, he's with the Astros, and I'm looking, you know, in Astros, I forget the name of their stadium. Is it Minute Maid Park, I believe? He's batting, like, .257 for his career, and it looks like he's capable of hitting, like, upper teens home runs, you know. So I'm thinking about him and Williams Astido. Is that his name? Let's see.
I would take Chirinos. I think that's a decent.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the second one. Yeah, yeah. Williams Astido.
The second one's not going to matter.
I know. It's almost like you just want to punt the position and whatnot. But that's basically what I've done in round 19. So,
catchers tough. That's the bottom line. Is catchers is tough. Mm-hmm. Right, no matter who you get. I said, I don't want to spend a round 7 pick to get, you know, Sanchez. Realmuto might go earlier than that. I think in the draft on Sirius, he went second round, 19th overall, which I think is psychotic, by the way. Nuts.
I wouldn't mind Francisco Cervelli as well.
I wanted him as well because he sort of protects average. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's good enough. I would have taken Cervelli. He actually went before me, so I did look at him as well. Austin Romine, Sanchez is going to get hurt again, he's another guy who's hit, 14, 16 home runs last year.
Right.
I would take that as well.
What do you think about Francisco Mejia from San Diego? You think he gets enough playing time? I mean, who's there starting right now? It's Austin Hedges, I think, right?
Correct.
But Mejia, big-time prospect.
With him, you already said it. Does he get enough playing time? That's the only question. Mm-hmm. I think I'm fine. As a second catcher, once again, I'm fine with him. I'm fine. Because once again, he has upside. He has a lot of upside. So I'm fine with Mejia, Alfaro. Those are two guys I was looking at. Like I said, I should have pulled the trigger on Alfaro. Mejia, I missed out on.
Mm-hmm. Tucker Barnhart, maybe.
Eight catchers.
Yeah, I hear you, man. So just as we fade off of catchers for now, what is your anticipation for Sanchez for this year, Gary Sanchez? At one point, thought of as, you know, when they talked about Judge and whatnot and, you know, the young Yankee hitters, some people said, you know, he was the best pure hitter, you know, skill set wise around. But, man, when you look at what he's done the past couple of years, sometimes he just looks lost at the plate. Do you see, do you expect some kind of a rebound from Gary Sanchez this year?
Yeah, I do. He was hurt last year. I think that played a part in it. I also think what played a part in it, and I said this early on, I think he got too much Judge Stanton envy. And what I mean by that is he saw how far they were hitting the ball. You know, and he sort of went into pull mode, where he wanted to hit just as far as they could. You know, that's what I mean by Judge Stanton envy. where he wasn't using the whole field anymore. If you saw, you watched the Yankee games last year, he wasn't using right field anymore. Listen, a home run, whether it goes 315 feet down the right field line or 500 feet to left center, counts the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he has to realize that again. Don't be afraid to go to right field. Judge and Stanton do all the time. And you use that short porch there. Use right field. They're going to pitch outside anyway because they don't want you pulling the ball. So go with it. I think he got a little bit too much pull happy last year, wanting to hit the ball, wanting to show that he could hit the ball as far as them. You know, he won that the home run derby in 17, so I think that played a part in it as well. That he, oh, you know what? They're only talking about Judge and Stanton. I think it's ego. Ego, mm-hmm. I think, played a part in it here. So I think he does rebound. Like I said, the injury, I'm sure, had its toll, too. Shoulder injury, so that might change your swing as well. I think he guesses up there a lot. You know, I think so does Stanton, by the way. They both guess, mm-hmm. and that's why sometimes you see them wave at the slider or the curve or go outside because they're guessing fastball or they don't read the pitch very well. But I do expect a rebound here. I don't know if he's going to hit 40 home runs, but my guess is if he stays healthy, you know, and he does play 120 games, 130 games this season, that you're going to see, fantasy-wise, he'll pay off for you because he'll hit 30 home runs. I mean, would it shock anybody if Judge, Stanton, and Sanchez hit 120 home runs between the three? I doubt it.
Mm-hmm. You think a 250 batting average at least is doable for him this year?
He's a better hitter than that. I mean, really, he's
a
better hitter.
But you're almost – I agree with it, but you're almost after what you've seen the past couple of years, wow.
Yes, so a 250 average should be easily in his wheelhouse. I mean, easily. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's someone in a draft. He's not going to be a bargain because catchers suck so bad that even after the year he had, he's still, you know, top three, top four catchers because there's just no one else out there to pass him. So he's still going to go where where he should go in drafts. But he's someone who this is somebody else at a normal position, probably falls three, four rounds later than what he should. So it's funny how catcher works out like that. Yeah. Just aren't enough there. Yeah, I think he rebounds fine. I think he'll maybe not quite. I don't think this year will be his best season ever, but he'll be fine. Yeah, I don't think we'll be complaining about Sanchez after this year. I think he's learned his lesson from last year. What we'll be complaining about is probably his defense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, once again, we'll be bitching about that. And that does come into effect in fantasy because, you know, he had 18 pass balls last year. He was hurt a lot, and he had 18 pass balls. And that's god-awful. God-awful.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. That he has that.
And you and I watch Yankee games, and it was god awful to watch on a daily basis.
I'm a believer when it comes to Sanchez, as far as the pass balls are concerned, that the Yankees need to stop setting him up. And what I mean is stop putting him on the outside corner, you know, to frame a pitch, or on the inside corner. He's not fluent enough when the Yankees miss that target by 3 feet, and they miss it a lot. The Yankees have a lot of guys who throw 95 plus, so they are a hard team to catch. And so if you're setting up on the outside corner, people don't realize, you know, if they miss that target completely and they throw it on the inside corner, that's 2 feet on a ball moving 98 miles an hour. It doesn't give you much reaction time. Don't get me wrong. He should catch the damn thing. But it's still tough. You know, I don't think the Yankees should do that anymore. I think they should tell him, hey, play in the middle of the plate and set it up with your glove from there. It's where you'll be a little bit closer where the ball might end up. So that's my belief here. I think the way the Yankees set him up, like I said, it shouldn't be that way. More catches. Most catches wouldn't have a problem, or they might be difficult, but they would still catch the ball. With Sanchez, that seems to be a problem. I think he's too too muscular, just not a fluid guy. Just not a fluid guy behind the plate here. So that would be my
DH, isn't he?
My one suggestion.
Yeah.
I hope not.
Me too.
I hope not.
That's where
but the eye test seems to say yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, was I crazy to say, hey, you know, once the Indians dangled Corey Kluber out there that, you know, why not – put Sanchez on the block. I mean, you mentioned that A.J. Romine, much better defensive catcher, right? And, you know, I think the Yankees could have they needed pitching. I don't know. That was just me.
It's Austin Romine, so, you know, that's
why, whatever.
Screw the guy's name.
A.J. Austin, yeah.
I think
his mother's listening.
One thing I might have done here is I might have put up Sanchez and something else for Realmuto.
Mm-hmm.
Only because Romeo is the better overall catcher. But one thing I'm worried about as far as the Yankees are concerned is, my God, are they right-handed?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially without Didi Gregorius, who's gone till about July. You know, they are all right-handed. It's why I think Greg Bird is going to be given every chance to win that first base job.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really just him and Hicks as far as left-handed batters here. So I think it would be very interesting to see how that works out. So I said I wouldn't have minded talking to Derek Jeter and the Marlins about Realmuto back then and offering Sanchez, which did come up, by the way, that maybe he was offered, maybe he wasn't. Cashman denied it, but of course he's going to deny it because they didn't get the deal done. So I do wonder if the Yankees would have gone that direction. Did not hear his name mentioned as far as Kluber's concerned, but you're right, that would have made sense too. Once again, the Yankees need pitching. So that would have made sense as well.
All right. Let's talk about the Braves for a second. Mike Foltynewicz, elbow soreness.
Who doesn't have elbow soreness or shoulder soreness on that team?
Right. A.J. Minter as well, right? So does that make Vizcaino the favorite there to Aroudis Vizcaino, the favorite to be the closer? Of course, you mentioned earlier Kimbrel, Craig Kimbrel, rumored to be on their radar as well. So, you know, at this stage, what's it looking like over there?
Well, they don't have much left in pitching. I mean, Gossman's also day-to-day. And Soroka's not going to make the he's not going to make the opening deadline. They've already said that. So they've got some issues as far as hopefully normal spring training stuff. You know, Folty's a popular pitcher here, so we're certainly hoping he's not, really banged up severely. You know, we know he didn't start yesterday due to the elbow soreness. They're telling us it's more day-to-day. We'll see. Really, you don't know. We'll see. You're hoping it's nothing big here, but apparently it's not anything like a UCL. That's what you all worry about. Sure. UCL means Tommy John. So it seems to not be that, and that's a good thing. I think if I'm drafting, this is really what it comes down to. If I'm drafting today, tomorrow, this week, I might drop Folty a round or two, but he's not off my board yet. Soroka probably is. You know, if he's like Kevin Gausman, I mean, he's more of a late pick anyway. He's got a shoulder issue here.
What about Sean Newcomb? A little wild, but
he doesn't have an injury, so I'm not really worried about him injury wise. But Gosman's somebody, like I said, he's an SP5, SP6. Sean Newcomb, he's one guy who doesn't have an injury, not yet for them. So I guess once again, I'm okay with grabbing him. I don't think his value has changed. I'm not in love with the man. He's an SP, once again, SP3, SP4 in the rotation. So I'm okay there. I think the Braves could have used a starter as well. You know, they could have been in on Dallas Keuchel as well. As the Philadelphia Phillies, I wonder, with all these teams now, the Mets, Phillies, Nationals, Braves, you know, they're all making moves. And I wonder if they're all going to play off the moves. Uh-oh, Phillies signed Harper. All right, well, how can we come back? Maybe we got to get Kimbrel. Maybe we got to get Keuchel. You know, add to our rotation. There's no more bats out there. You know, so I wonder if that plays a part in this as well here. So I think it's interesting how this works out. When it comes to the Braves, I love their farm system. They have a deep, deep system. And they've got prospects up the wazoo here. Gohara's another guy we haven't talked about. He's also backed up, actually. You know, they got Riley at third base. Ian Anderson. Tuke Tswan. These are all guys, top prospects that are coming up.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe not ready this year. Maybe more next year. But still.
Needs to be ready.
You know, they're a team where they need a pitcher during the season, and a top pitcher comes on the market. Let's say Kluber. The Indians fall out of it for some reason. And Kluber, they're going to trade Kluber. I expect the Braves to be interested.
Yeah. Ended up picking up Newcomb in the TGFBI League last night. It's a slow draft, and picked him up in the 18th round. And I just noticed that you know, according to ADP, which is really, it's an average, right? So you an average draft position. But he should have went in the 14th round. And, you know, I kind of was hesitant on him because I don't like his wildness. But, you know, he's a decent strikeout pitcher. So I'm just hoping that he could, you know, find his way this year and maybe, you know, live up to, you know, because I feel like I got him at a slight bargain, but we'll see. Hey, we were talking Vizcaino, Minter, whatever, but another closer I want to ask you about in terms of, you know, because it came into, you know, my draft. Who's going to be the closer for the Red Sox? It looks like Matt Barnes supposedly seems to be the favorite, right? But what are the chances that Ryan Brazier could be in the mix as well? I mean, is there – have you heard anything? I know you're the closer guru. We might have to talk about this on the way back, but does it look like the Red Sox have made a decision yet, or what are you seeing out there?
No, the Sox haven't made any decision yet. That'll be determined during spring training. Those are the two candidates, either Brazier or Barnes here. Weird that they just have let Kimbrel go, and they don't seem to be looking back at all. Could be lying to get his price down here. But that's a strange situation there. They're a team, former defending World Series champions, don't really have a closer.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back, talk more fantasy baseball. You listen to Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning, Joe Galina, George Kurtz, Sean Angle producing our show, keeping us flying straight. The Who asking us who we are, who am I? Question for the ages. It's tough to answer there, George. Who are you?
Yeah, you let that song go a little bit. They're going to ask it a little bit more vulgarity as to who are you.
A little left bomb thrown in there, right?
It's my favorite song here. Actually on my phone when someone calls me, because who are you? Why are you calling me?
That's good. I like that. That's inventive.
I try. You know, I try and please.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, if you call me, the ring back you'll hear is, who can it be now?
Okay. That shows you're an 80s guy. What's the name of that Australian band, right?
Men at Work.
Who can it be now? Men at Work. There you go. Have a Vegemite sandwich, sit back, and listen to them.
What the hell is a Vegemite sandwich, by the way?
Some kind of food that I guess that Australians eat. I guess
I actually looked it up a long time. I still don't know what it is. Couldn't tell you what it's made of. But I guess some kind of vegetable mix is my guess. Vegemite. And mites? Vegetables and mites? Sound good? I'm sure it's like PB&J.
Yeah, right. It's like the PB&J in... So let's see. You're making me look this up here. Vegemite. It's a thick black Australian food spread made from leftover brewer's yeast extract with various vegetables and spice additives. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm not eating that.
So maybe
not sound good.
The Australian equivalent of mayonnaise, maybe?
I don't know what it is. Sandwiches. I'm not eating it. I'm not big on mayonnaise either, by the way, but that don't sound good whatsoever. No. You know, I've never had a PB&J.
No, that's impossible.
As far as I know, I'm not a big jelly person. Don't hate it.
Uh-huh.
Not really.
Uh-huh.
I don't mind peanut butter, but not a big peanut butter person either. Mm-hmm. So I've never had a PB&J. I don't think I've ever made it for my kids. Mm-hmm. Maybe I have.
Wow.
I don't remember offhand. Well, my one daughter has a peanut allergy, so I'm certainly not making it for her.
I would hope you didn't, right?
It's not a major allergy. I know so many people who just, if they smell it, they have problems. No, she has to eat.
It's a serious thing. Mm-hmm.
No, it's not quite that serious for her. But if she eats it, she'll have issues, but not smells it or something like that. But I don't think, even with my oldest, I don't remember making her one. I'd have to ask as a chance, because I knew I made her some jelly sandwiches. I just don't know if I would peanut butter on with it. So I don't think so. We do have peanut butter in the house. At least we did. But I don't know. Bob, I'm pretty sure I haven't eaten it.
At some point we did. I have to check the expiration date. Right? We did have peanut butter in the house.
Do you ever go through your closets and check the expiration dates on things? We've had to do that because my wife...
Every once in a while,
Never, ever.
So I'm like, hey, honey, 2015, I think I could throw this out, right?
Yes, I'm prepared the same way. What do you think, hon? 4 years? Yeah. No? This is not a nuclear shelter here.
And God knows what's in the back of our freezer, too, because every once in a while you need to do that as well, right? Get rid of the old stuff there. But fun times. Fun times in the Kurtz. Fun times in the Kurtz and Galina household, throwing out stuff from 2013 and 2015. maybe just
pretty sure
it's
trying to kill me.
I don't think so. By the way, happy anniversary, right? 18 years.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, 18 years.
Yeah. Tuesday will be 25 for me, so we'll see. We'll see if I make it, right?
Yeah, she's got a couple of days. She's got a couple of days.
She's got to reconsider. What the hell am I doing?
25 years. It's not over yet.
Yeah. That's why I look the way I do. My God. It's taking its toll, man. It's
what is 25 toll. Years? Is that the diamond or is that, do you know what,
silver,
what
maybe?
That is?
It might be silver. I don't know.
Silver anniversary?
Yeah.
Could be. I used to know these things. Now I don't.
I just say it's a lot. It's a long time. That's all. Too long. It's,
wow.
It's too long. Yeah.
Hopefully Miss Galena's not listening.
She just listened to every show I did, every minute of broadcast, and no more. So I can say whatever the heck I want. So we'll see. Yeah, she wanted the J-Lo tickets, Jennifer Lopez tickets. So I was thinking.
I know who J-Lo is, Joe. Thanks.
Okay.
I'm not
quite
that.
I don't know. I know you're a little out of it. Come on. A little. You've admitted that you're a little out of it. But I'm looking at freaking ticket prices because, you know, thinking maybe we live in Staten Island, maybe traveling down to Philadelphia, seeing her there. At the cheapest tickets, like $300, and then let's say if I want to get one for maybe $150, I'm sitting like in the last row, the furthest seat away from the stage, so I'm going to end up having to watch the video feed anyway. You know, so it's like, I might as well watch this concert from home. You know, if I'm going to be watching the
Are
video
you
feed,
surprised that the prices are high?
I'm just angry. You know, I'm not surprised. I'm just pissed off.
Yeah, it is. It is annoying, but I'd be shocked if it wasn't high. You know, that's something like, oh, you want to go? Nice. Well, we'll just take out a second mortgage.
Yeah, or just get you a piece of jewelry or something, right? That'd be cheaper than getting J-Lo tickets. I don't know.
Not that I have any interest in seeing J-Lo, but once again, I'm not surprised the tickets are high.
Yeah. And then she got, what's his name, A-Rod tagging along with her, who I can't stand as well.
But, oh, yeah, I forgot she's dating him.
Yeah, yeah. He's at the Oscars with her. He's here. Cut it out. Cut it out. Well, anyway, right. So next hour we'll talk some football. Have you been watching some of the Combine? I know. I bet you it's been on TV in the background while you're doing your writing and all this other jazz that you do as well. I know that you keep the TV on 24/7.
Exactly. Yeah, it's on, but the Combine is idiotic. I mean, listen, we love football, so we watch. But it's the underwear Olympics, boys and girls. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, it really
the word right out of
anything.
My mouth. I wasn't going to say underwear, but I was going to say Olympics. Yeah, you know.
That's all it is. I mean, Cam and I were bitching about this yesterday. Why do we have these guys running the 40-yard dash, but they're doing it without pads and without a football? Mm-hmm. Would it make more sense to have them in pads and with a football in their hands? For a running back, lest I heard a running back's generally going to have a football in his hands. Without it means he probably fumbled the ball. All right, so I don't want to get it. I don't care how fast he can run. His Under Armour.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Most of it's just more testing athleticism than anything else. I think Mark Schlereth puts it perfectly. If you follow him on Twitter, and former football player, played forever, won three Super Bowls, and he goes, you know what? Everything they test you for at the combine, you'll never ever do again. If it was so important, you'd be doing it in training camp. Right? Mm-hmm. You'd be doing you don't do any of this ever again. So the only thing it's really testing is your athleticism. How high can you jump? Well, that's nice. Now granted, I was interested in what the final measurements would be as far as Kyler Murray's height.
Right.
He came into 5'10 plus.
Right.
Your hand size is also big. You're right. I mean, we laugh about that, but hand size, and that makes sense because you got to grip a football. And, I have small hands, man. Trying to grip in a football. Even I used to have a gun for an arm, but I had trouble with a football, an NFL football. It's hard to get your hand around that. So it is important. I get that. Plus, in bad weather, rain, if you have small hands, well, that ball's going to slide out of your hand a lot.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I get that. And I get size of quarterback, too. Even 5'10 is probably about the minimum, that coaches would go for. I think that's about the minimum coaches would go for. Anything less, I don't think you had a chance. But 5'10 plus, it was either 1/8 or 3/8, I forget which, probably puts a lot of this, about a lot of the worry to bed. I think he does get drafted. I think he's going number one overall. I think the hype is starting to build up now. I'm not so sure who it's going to be. Yeah, I think the Cardinals want to take him if they can get rid of Rosen. They can get some kind of value for Rosen.
There's been rumors that they have been talking, I think the Redskins, but, who knows?
I think Matthew Berry, who's a Redskin fan, posted that yesterday. He wouldn't mind getting Rosen, supposed to get the prices right. Yeah. I think he said he'd rather get Rosen than Antonio Brown. Brown's been talked about going to Washington as well, which makes all the sense in the world. Doesn't matter who your great wide receiver is if you don't have a quarterback. Mm-hmm. So you got to get a quarterback there. But I think, like you just mentioned, I think Murray's going to Arizona. We know Kingsbury loves him. He's already said before he became coach that he would take him number one overall. So he, and listen, even if they can't trade Rosen, you know, it's a quarterback-driven league, Joe. If you truly believe that Murray is that guy, he's that guy that's going to be your quarterback for the next 10, 15 years, going to be a Hall of Famer, you know, whatever, then you draft the number one overall anyway, even though you got, Rosen last year. You still do it. You know, I do think you should be able to trade Rosen. You hope for a number one. And Washington, with the 15th overall pick, makes some sense. Then you get your 15th overall. You get Murray here, so you get some value for Rosen. I'm good with that. Rosen was drafted, I believe, 10th overall last year. So it wasn't like he was the number one pick. So I'm good with that.
According to him, every other pick was a mistake. Well, it's interesting that Rosen took down all his Cardinals-related posts or pictures of him in Cardinals stuff off his Instagram, at least. Yeah, I haven't checked it, but I read that he did that. So, yeah,
that's interesting.
So, yeah, yeah.
What does he know?
maybe he's been told. But, I mean, let's say if they do keep him, aren't able to trade him, and then pick Kyler Murray number one overall, then do you have a controversy in camp, like who's going to be your starter? Right, because at least Rosen has a little bit of experience. You know, I could get it why the Cardinals are considering this, because Rosen's not their guy. Yeah, I mean, you know, he
was drafted by the former regime.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yes.
Right. So. We see that a lot in football. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, Kingsbury didn't draft Rosen. Maybe he hated Rosen in college. Maybe he thought this guy sucked. You know, I don't know, man. He may love Rosen, but we know he loves Murray. So I don't think there'd be much of a quarterback controversy. I think if they draft Murray one overall, guess who your quarterback is? Yeah, I think it's Murray. It's an interesting situation because you want to get as much value out of Rosen as possible. But if you draft Murray, he's going to get all the reps, or most of the reps. He's going to get most of the playing time. You wouldn't see Rosen, right? You really wouldn't see Rosen other than in training camp. And the odds are no one's giving you a number one pick in training camp for Rosen. So they have to trade him. Probably, I don't think they'd be able to do it prior to the draft. I don't. But I think if they take Murray number one, I think then they start working the phones. And who do you work it with? And you go down the list. San Fran, no. Jets, no. Raiders? Raiders have three number one picks, Joe. Yeah, yes. The Raiders aren't going to give you the fourth. They're not going to give you the fourth overall for them. They're not. But they have three number one picks. Maybe you can get 20, 24, or 27 out of them. For it. And it's assuming they're lying to it. And by the way, I said this yesterday, I'll say this on every show. Everybody is lying right now. Everybody's lying. All right. No one's telling you the truth because they all think they can't tell the truth because I got to make these guys think I'm taking this guy instead of this guy so they don't trade up and get all this other crap. You know, and are they lying about Derek Carr being their franchise quarterback? That's the game you're playing there.
Well, they have to say that he is. Yeah.
Right. They have to. They have no choice. They build up Carr's confidence. But if they don't believe, well, then 27 and 24 are certainly in play to get someone like Rosen. Is Bruce Arians lying at number five about believing in Winston? Now, personally, I don't think he is. I think he does want to give Winston one more shot, but I'm not positive.
And they have a history together, you know.
The Giants aren't going to give up number six for Rosen. I'd be shocked. Just the way Gettleman thinks, he's not going to do that. I suppose Jacksonville could be in play if they don't get Nick Foles. You know, in free agency, but I expect them to get Foles. Stafford, no. Detroit, no. Buffalo, no. How about Denver at 10? What does John Elway think? He's been wrong on everybody else. Right. You know, so maybe he wants to give a go here. Cincinnati, Green Bay. Miami, I think, is playing for next year's quarterback class. So I think they're going to tank this year and to go for next year's quarterback class is deeper, better. So I think they'll play for that. And then, then you get to Washington at 15. I think that's the team I think to watch because I think the 15th overall pick for a quarterback makes sense. Alex Smith is more than likely not coming back this season. So you need a QB, and you get a young one to build around, something Washington hasn't had in a while. So I think Washington at 15 does make the most sense here as far as giving up the first pick for, you know, Josh Rosen. You know, but this could also be a thing where, Joe, is we know the Giants want to take a quarterback, right, at six? You're a Giant fan, right? Giants want a quarterback? You want Haskins?
I guess I would. Yeah, I mean, obviously they should be looking to take a quarterback, no doubt. I'm liking Haskins. I think he wants to be a Giant, but he'd sit behind Eli this year and kind of learn at his feet. I mean,
I agree.
You know, yeah,
I agree. I think the Giants want Haskins. I think they'll take him at 6. Here's my problem.
Yeah,
I don't think he lasts till 6.
That's the thing.
I think you got to trade.
Up,
I think
right?
you got to trade. You got to trade up to get him. And mm-hmm. now, once again, you play the game again. All right. Murray goes number one to Arizona, so that takes the top quarterback off the board. Now mm-hmm. Haskins is next. The Giants could hope and pray that he'll last to 6, but the Jets mm-hmm. have already let it be known. Hey, we got the third pick. We're open for business. The Jets want to recoup some of those picks they gave up last year for Donald, at 3 number twos. So a team that wants Haskins could trade ahead of the Giants. For giggles here, Murray goes 1. Let's say Bosa goes 2 to San Fran. So now Haskins is pretty much on the board at 3. Who wants him? Everybody comes, who right. wants him? And I think that's where it becomes interesting. Because another thing I believe here, let's just say for giggles, I don't know, Denver trades up. They trade up and they grab Haskins at 3. Okay? Now with Giants left in the cold here. So are some other teams that may have wanted Haskins. Rosen right. becomes in play again. Okay, we can't get this guy. The quarterback draft is light after that. Okay, we'll trade for Rosen. This is where the Cardinals have to play a game here of when right. do they have the most leverage? When can they get the most? So I think the Jets at 3 as the team. It won't be the Jets, but I think that's the slot Haskins is going in. Mm-hmm. Haskins is going to go number 3 to a team that trades into it. And the Jets have also let it be known, hey, we'll trade with the Giants too. Smart.
Right.
I think that mm-hmm. that is smart. Letting people, just because you're playing the same stadium, I don't even know why the Giants Jets are rivals, by the way. You're playing different conferences, for crying out loud. You play once every 4 years. It doesn't make any sense. So
it's
why would
that back page
the
on the paper, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. Oh my God, Haskins ends up being a Hall of Famer. The Jets traded chance to all that kind of crap.
If Haskins takes the Giants to the Super Bowl before Donald takes the Jets to the Super Bowl,
the Jets will never hear the end of it.
Exactly. Right.
You're 100% correct. That's how these mm-hmm. I think it's idiotic. The Giants were to offer the mm-hmm. best deal, and I'm the Jets GM. I'm doing that deal in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. They offer me the best trade, and I like the trade. That's also the key here. I like the trade. If I don't like the trade, mm-hmm. I'll keep the pick and make we'll pick whoever I'm going to pick, another defensive lineman, because this is a heavy defensive lineman draft. But I think it's going to be – this is why the draft is so much fun, Joe. I'm not really a college football guy, but the draft is a season unto itself. It's
yes.
a season.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's so
and that's
many
how football keeps itself relevant all year long. We've been saying it week after week after week. Hey, and you know what? I like Haskins. Done it for 1 year. So I'm not totally 100% sold on him. Drew Locke is somebody that could – some people say that he could fit right in terms of be a quarterback, an NFL pro-ready quarterback. But we'll talk more football in the next hour. Continue to talk a little fantasy baseball as well. You listen to Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.